From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hallelujah, brethren, and welcome to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. We are coming at you from Dallas, Texas. That's right. And here in the room with me is Mr. Stuart Balk. Testify, my Australian brother.
Mama, we came here for milk. You don't need that.
That is a joke only Stu and I will get.
It's a very in-joke.
Not even my third guest, Mr. Cole Houston, testify. He does not get that.
I testify that I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
That's right, Brother Cole.
Only those two ladies at the Kroger wheel. That's it.
I don't think they will.
I'm sure that they will be tuning in. I want to go on record and say that.
I don't think so. But anyway.
you'll be surprised the volume of Kroger employees who listen to podcasts.
I want to say this. After a horribly long absence, Jedi Cole is back after 4.5 long years.
Yes. It's
not longer.
No, 4.5.
Right at 4.5? Okay.
Yeah, sitting on 4.5 years. So
it's been a while. It's
way too long. But,
I am in. There's another in-joke I would make right now, but I don't want to just in case somebody listens to this.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so yes, I am in Dallas here on holidays, back in the USA. Not in the USSR, as Hunter would wish. That's another in-joke.
Ukraine girls really knock me out.
See, I thought that they were talking about crane girls, Ukraine girls. And then I found out there was actually a country called Ukraine.
Yeah, I thought he was actually talking about like hanging around construction sites where women were.
Oh, who operate heavy machinery.
Yeah, heavy machinery.
That makes sense now.
Yeah, girls right. Who operate cranes.
Yeah. That's right. That was a porn site I found.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're just wearing nothing but suspenders and hard hats, operating cranes.
Yeah, that's all right.
So, an infamous episode that Stu and I recorded was the Avengers episode a while back.
And not the one based on the old television series.
No, it was not the Ralph Fiennes Uma Thurman movie. I'm hearing my voice fed back, so if people are wondering why I'm talking weird, that's just what happens.
It's to combat hearing yourself in your ear going off.
Yeah, so if anybody's wondering why I'm talking funny, that's why.
Testify!
Yeah, testify! But
Shine a blonde light, testify!
Testify, Mr. Shiner. But so, Stu, Cole's wife, Catherine, and I, we went out to dinner, and then we went to go see Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, by the way, shout out to our waiter, Tommy Chong. Gay Tommy Chong.
Gay Tommy Chong.
Another in-joke that only the four of us would have gotten. That's right. Or as we christened him in the car, Cole, Tommy Dong.
Wow, the things I missed.
Yes. Mm.
But so, we went to go see that at the legendary Texas Theater. The last time I was there, the second to last time, I saw Grim Avengers, a.k.a. Avengers Grim with you.
Indeed. And I love going over to the Texas Theater. It's just a treat. And
the
even more
Grim
so
knockoffs.
With people who enjoy film so much.
Yeah.
Even bad film so much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But so we dragged Stu because we needed to do an Avengers podcast because the last Avengers podcast was
polarizing,
highly downloaded.
Well, I think one of the things you have to do is anytime that Stu is in the States, he has to be press ganged into attending a screening of a film he had no desire to see otherwise.
It's been two for two, hasn't it, Cole?
Yes, it has. So 4 years ago, we were forced to see Thor.
Which I actually enjoyed.
Yeah, much to your surprise, and to no one's surprise, we'll find out what you've thought about Avengers.
Okay, let me tell you what it was like to sit next to Stu at the screening of Avengers Age of Ultron. All right, are you ready?
Because this is the first movie we'd seen together in a theater.
Was it really?
Yeah. Oh,
did we not go to the movies in Memphis?
No. We've watched tons at your house, but not at the theater.
You're right.
It's the first time. It attended second time, things.
Second time with Colin Catherine. First time with you, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, here's what Stu was like. Oh.
Wow, it's like going to the movies with Darth Vader.
Heavy sigh.
All the raincoat crowd.
Checking the time.
what is this monstrosity?
I heard him startle from slumber at one point.
There was a guy sitting behind me. I threw my head back twice, which I do to wake myself up. I'm like, oh god, I didn't hit this guy. Yeah, let's just say I dozed off a couple of times in that film.
Which well, also,
I warned everybody. I warned.
Yeah,
everybody.
You did. In all fairness, you did give. There was fair warning.
I did say I do have a tendency sometimes if the film bores me enough, I will doze off, especially in a theater. Because it happens upstairs at my home theater all the time.
Doesn't count.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, I couldn't even count. So I could feel myself after that incredible dinner that we all had.
Yes.
At the Oddfellows.
Oddfellows.
Yeah. Shout out to them for.
After a great chicken like that, you know.
Yeah, great.
It's going to fill you with so much L-tryptophan that, you know, you can use that as an excuse.
Exactly. And so I know my body relaxes, and if I'm perched in a chair for 2 hours and 20 minutes, there's a high probability I'm going to doze off him somewhere along the way. That's why I said, whoever sits next to me, your job is to...
That's right.
...and prod me and say, Stuart.
It's during, like, the big action scene. I'm not going to be staring at you the whole time.
better check on Stu. Just, you know.
Although at one point I was like, guys, Stu needs to keep his breathing under control. And then I was like,
If I'm tired, I just fucking know.
I thought you were expressing discontent.
I was.
It was actually a snooze.
I was dozing off. I really was dozing off.
Well, I also have to point out, though, that before the film, we there's something that Catherine and I have a running joke about anything with Joss Whedon as director. And we pointed this out to Hunter and Stu before the movie, and almost immediately, Hunter is like elbowing me, because there it is, exactly what we promised. Much like lens flares in a J.J. Abrams film, Joss Whedon has a particular strange voyeuristic fondness of shooting through glass.
Yeah.
Which is to say, shooting a scene where one or more of the participants in the scene are on the opposite side of the glass that the camera is shooting through, be it a windshield, a Hulk prison, a window, you name it. It's like if the diamonds in Tiffany's window in Breakfast at Tiffany's were a principal character. That would be a Joss Whedon film. And sure enough, this was borne out. So almost immediately, I'm getting the playful jab here that, oh, yeah, there it is, just like you promised.
Yeah, I elbowed you.
Peeping Joss, isn't he, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so, he's like John Belushi in Animal House.
Animal House, yeah.
So I had to point that out because it will also now ruin every Joss Whedon film for those who hadn't made that observation.
Yeah, no, it was...
When you go, like, watch Dr. Horrible, and you're like, oh my god, he's shooting through the translucent doors of Washateria dryers.
Yeah.
Just so he can shoot through glass.
But so, Stu, for those who don't know, Stu didn't care for the last Avengers movie.
Ah, let me backpedal. At the time, no. I got sent a copy of a... on 3D Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. I've since seen it again, and it's okay.
Okay.
All right? I saw it, and I've said to people who will listen, I've had to amend my original review of it and thoughts of it.
Okay, because I wanted to double check with you, though. Was this appraisal based on your view being softened by having seen Avengers Age of Ultron? So I'm pleased to find out, no, it had already softened.
Yes, already.
And I kind of had a similar experience with Guardians of the Galaxy. When I first saw it, I was pretty down on it. And when I saw it later, I sort of had to eat crow and say that I enjoyed it a lot more when I watched it again.
Eat crow, like the one you killed on your car?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hit a bird with my windshield today.
Yeah. You killed it. He killed Eric Draven all over again.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Kind of a first crow reference.
Think about it, Stu. If we're lucky, it wasn't a crow, but a grackle.
Well, that's what I said it was. Yeah. I said it was a,
I mean,
grackle.
For the unindoctrinated or expatriate Australians, it could pass itself off as a crow.
But they're
small. But chances are it was just a hated grackle. Those damn things.
Grackles are the...
They can die and go to hell. The homeless people. They're the avian homeless people.
They're the diseased, like, lepers of the bird kingdom.
And like the guy that came and approached me...
Pigeons are the crazy bag ladies.
It's like the guy that came and approached me at the gas station on the way home, saying, "I just need some gas." And you know, my two inclinations were either gas spelled B-E-R, or if I'd been this friend of mine who, you know, makes no bones about anything, he's probably the most Stu-like person I've ever met here in this country in this regard. I could see Stu actually doing the same. I just was so tempted to say, you know, you play your cards right in this country, you never have to pay for a tank of gas. Because when you think about it, if you've got time and you don't mind a little abuse, you could literally engineer never having to pay for a tank of gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never ever bought gas in my life for my car. Never had to.
Is your car a rickshaw?
I've never ever bought gas from my car.
It's because Stu's car is a kangaroo.
No,
that's his other car.
It's a four-wheel vehicle I've never ever bought gas from my car. I've never had to.
Why is that?
Because it runs on fucking petrol. That's why.
Oh, that's
holy shit.
That's some joke.
All right, Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Avengers: Age of Utrom? It was Krang. That was in this movie, right?
It was?
You know, Utrom. The space brain things from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You've lost me there.
Okay, I'll do that joke again when Eddie's on the show.
Yeah. There you go. I'm sure when Eddie listens in on this one, it will be a hoot and a holler.
Yeah, he'll laugh. And
he'll just be like, he's like, oh, and then he'll laugh even further. He's like, it's no wonder Colt didn't get that joke. He doesn't know jack about
it. It's so funny. Hey, Gene, come listen to this joke.
Oh, now that joke I got.
Yeah. Eddie Medina, Cole's co-host, sounds like Paul Stanley.
He will actually, his voice acting work will be playing Paul Stanley in the Kiss cartoon.
The Scooby-Doo Kiss crossover. Yeah. And that's spelled with a K. So anyway, Avengers Age of Ultron, highly anticipated film of this summer, Joss Whedon's back directing, blah, blah, blah. You know the score. So what were everyone's expectations going in? Stuart, we'll let you go first.
I had zero expectations. I made it very clear at dinner. I was like, I want to see
it. I was like, I'm excited. We get to go see a movie.
I was only excited to be with you guys.
Yeah, and the thing is, all of Stu's expectations were expressed in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to point that out because his expectations were to enjoy the company of those he was going to see the movie with,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he fully expected to fall asleep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What were your expectations, Mr. Cole Houston?
I was kind of a mixed bag of expectations. Partially, my Hey Kids Comics co-host, Andrew Farmer, had gone out of his way to to have a spoiler-free spoiler and saying that he pretty much saw that, you that Hunter would not like it that much, and that Stu would hate it. Which basically was his way of saying, you're going to go see a movie you're not going to like as much as you thought you were.
Yeah.
And I can't help but wonder, did that color my opinion? But then again, the more I analyze what I just saw, the more I begin to wonder, no, I don't think that was really...
that strong.
Yeah. There were so many... I went into it anticipating at least a fun movie. I got one of the things I was afraid of, and that was that there might be too much of the best stuff thrown out in the trailer.
Yeah.
Which we're getting back to that, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, going in for me, I just wanted a fun action movie. Like the first movie. I wanted it to be a fun superhero bonanza. I wasn't looking for anything super serious. I just wanted a good time. Good comic book time. I wasn't really expecting much, partially because of what Farmer said, but because I'm not seeing anyone going nuts for this movie on the internet.
Yeah, I think, thankfully, I'd somehow accidentally managed to recuse myself from any kind of spoilers or anything. I managed to not stumble on anybody's... the only thing I knew for sure is the boy loved it, but... anyway, sorry, another in joke. Damn it! But you know, I was trying to avoid anything that would be overt spoilers, and I was successful in that. But now that I am, you know, first thing I'm confronted with when I go online today is someone making the very accurate observation that this was nothing but a vehicle for Civil War.
Yeah.
That you didn't get an Avengers movie. What you got was a, like, Civil War Begins movie, if you
will. Yeah, yeah. Because the first Avengers movie really felt like something, to me, that they were building towards. That Marvel was really judiciously building towards this movie. And it hit that fever pitch when you got there. And you got this big, exciting movie. And with this movie, like, the last few Marvel movies have been very hit or miss for me. I loved Winter Soldier. I hated Thor, The Dark World. I enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy. What were the other ones that came out? Iron Man 3 sucked.
Yeah, Iron Man 3 sucked. All right. Iron Man 3 was one of those, I think, that had even more promise than this one.
Yes.
In so much
Shane Black.
Or it seemed like it had more promise because it delivered even less. Mm. I mean, this one delivered some of its promise, but not all of it.
It was an Iron Man movie without Iron Man, which I couldn't believe. Ridiculous.
Well, part of Iron Man 3, to go slightly off topic here, is that it's kind of like, was it Willow? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you get the Iron Man movie without Iron Man for part of the movie, where it's like Mad Mardigan being the greatest swordsman in the world, except that you spend most of the movie without him having a sword. And you just, you know, you want to... Sean Connery to come in and go pick swords.
Right. And even when we got stuff in that movie, it was boring. Like, we got a shitload of Iron Men at the end flying around, and it was just like, and the villains sucked.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, speaking of villains that... I wouldn't go so far as to say the villains suck in Age of Ultron, but I would go so far as to say the delivery sucked.
I agree. Ultron,
he's never fully realized.
No. He shows up and immediately is like this megalomaniacal villain that is halfway to conquering the world.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what's an Ultron? What's going on?
Yeah.
Stuart's very, very quiet, by the way.
Yeah.
He's sitting here nodding.
Or nodding off as
fully awake. Fully awake. So, what did everybody think of it? What did you think of it, Hannah?
Like, it had bits I liked in it. I liked Iron Man's Hulkbuster outfit and the Incredible Hulk fight. It had a few bits here and there, a few funny bits, but it was like an
old truck that you have to fight into gear.
Mm-hmm.
Is the feeling that I got, because like the very beginning sequence, the pacing seems so awkward and off.
It does.
And then they got all video gamey or cartoony in some of the cinematography.
There's stuff flying out of every corner and them swatting it away. It's not interesting.
Yeah, it's all holes filled with action, and it's just...
All holes filled with action.
I remember seeing that back in 1991, I think.
Yeah, that played for 3 weeks in Melbourne, didn't it?
Yeah. And on 42nd Street.
Yeah, 3 weeks in my house.
So, yeah, it's just I think the biggest problem was it, much like Iron Man 3, only it delivered... better in many ways than Iron Man
3. Yeah, it's a better movie than Iron Man 3.
Don't go, I would never call it an Iron Man 3, but it had a lot of the same problems.
It did.
In that...
Many robots.
Yeah. Well, the pacing was difficult. It was awkward pacing at times, and it seemed like at intervals you were getting an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And at other intervals you were just getting a movie that could be about anything.
I didn't understand what the theme was, because there was with a lot of Marvel movies, there's this sort of broken family thing going on.
Yeah.
Where we're a team, but we kind of don't get along, and there's a little bit of that here, but I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from it. You know, it does feel like it's getting a little too caught up in its Marvel universe and not enough in telling a story. Like, every Marvel movie seems like it has to be so big, and maybe that's exactly why I liked Winter Soldier so much, is it didn't feel the need to be as big. I don't know.
Yeah, it gave you the little nods to the greater Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, for those of you who are familiar enough that, you know, the inexplicable taking over the SHIELD satellite ship terrorist Batroc, you know, that little something for fanboys to hang their hat on. It's like, oh, we're actually getting a legitimate version of Batroc the Leaper, who is like one of the last characters. I mean, what's next, Aquarian? I mean, I never imagined we'd get in, for those steeped in Marvel, we'll get that joke. But, you know, that's a character I never imagined we'd see on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those who are more familiar than me recognized that the other guy was supposed to be Crossbones. Mm-hmm. He's an old... Captain America villain, apparently. So, but much of the film just seemed like universe building.
Yeah.
This isn't the film you do your universe building in.
No, this is supposed to be the culmination of the universe building.
And that's what you had with the first film. And I think that's wherein the huge difference lies is, you know, the remember the early trailer for Avengers where it was sort of some assembly required.
Mm-hmm.
And that generated so much excitement because you've had all of these Marvel movies up to this point that stood on their own ground.
Yeah.
They stood as perfectly good films without benefit of having to be connected to anything else. But they also were part of a greater... you know, a larger world being slowly built.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have that world, it seems like we're on a fever pitch to build it even bigger and bigger.
We have to throw more stuff in each movie. Like,
yeah. And you have to get more Marvel Universe
mm-hmm.
crammed into this film.
Well, like, and I was surprised that they dip into X-Men characters in this. Like, because there were two characters played by Elizabeth Olsen, who I love, and Aaron Taylor Johnson, who people will remember from Kick-Ass. And they play Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. But I was like, well, there's no way that's them, because they're X-Men. And afterwards, you informed me that...
Yeah, I did have to let you know that they were... several characters from X-Men had become Avengers back in the old days, before like everybody, including Wolverine and Spider-Man...
Right.
You know, are taken on board because
Spider-Man's been in every team. He's been in the Fantastic Four. He's been in the Avengers. I'm sure he's been in the Justice League at some point.
But like, you know, the Spider-Man, Power Man, you know, there was a period in the Avengers comic where it was almost like that dream season of Saturday Night Live where they had Billy Crystal and Christopher Guest. And, you know, most of the entire cast were actually great performers, not just good performers. And, you know, that's what it seemed like. We got to sex up the Avengers and have the most, you know, outrageous grouping. But Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch have been a part. There was a period where, like, all the Avengers except Captain America went off to fight some intergalactic war. And Cap, Hawkeye, Quicksilver, and Scarlet Witch were the Avengers who stayed behind on Earth. Mm-hmm. And what was ironic about that, of course, was 3 out of 4 of them were former criminals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, yeah, that's who we want to put our trust in when the rest of the guys leave.
Mm-hmm.
But Beast was actually a member of the Avengers as well during some of its classic period back in the day. So there has been a kind of crossover synergy between the two groups.
Way too many scientists. You could have gotten Kelsey Grammer in there.
Yeah, that's. But apparently, there was a deal struck with Fox to utilize those characters because they do occur in both. But there were, you know, elements that were very specific.
They couldn't be called mutants, didn't you?
Yeah, they couldn't be called mutants. That's why they were called like miracles in the end credit thing where they first appear, which I thought they seriously missed the boat by not calling them Marvels.
Ah.
Tying it into the Marvels miniseries from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
From about 10 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah, you're not as big of an
I'm sure it's
going to be Whedon. Jeez.
Yeah. or whoever wrote that end credit sequence there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I felt like, how did you miss that? But, you know, and I'm sure there are people who are listening like, well, no, actually, Marvel's came out 17 years ago. I don't give a damn when it came out. It came out a long-ass time ago, and it was great. But, you know, on top of all of that, you know, the pacing and all of these other little things, one of the things that bothered the living shit out of me was the whole Hawkeye Homestead thing.
Yeah, what was up with Linda Cardellini showing?
I mean, the biggest problem I have with that is, okay, Hawkeye having a wife and 2.1437 kids, mm-hmm. or whatever, however far along she is, how that equates into, you know,
exactly the number.
Oh, is that it? Okay, I wasn't sure. I don't have any kids myself, but thank you. but, you know, Hawkeye having a wife, 2 kids, and one and a bun in the oven makes about as much sense as Chewbacca being married with a kid and a granddad at
home. And
going
back to visit them on Life Day.
Hang on. Why is this such a problem with the Hawkeye sequence with that?
Because, like Chewbacca, okay, prior to the holiday special, Chewbacca's running around footloose and fancy free with his hetero life mate Han Solo. And then all of a sudden, in the holiday special, I mean, granted, it wasn't even really pretend canon back then, but the whole idea of Chewbacca having a wife and kid at home flies in the face of the idea of him being like a smuggler.
A rogue rapscallion.
Yeah.
You're saying that a guy who is a protector of the universe who has a bow and arrow is not good enough for a family. Is that right?
No, I'm saying it would be like okay, look at Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
Yeah.
Let's say that Blofeld hadn't killed Bond's wife and he had kids. Mm. You know, would his wife just say, oh, that's okay, you go out and fight Spectre. I'll stay home and raise the kids.
He's an absentee father.
Yeah, exactly. He's like the worst kind of dad because then he just shows up whenever it's convenient for him. Yeah, and not only that, he brings all his drinking buddies with him.
I'd like to draw parallels between the counteract your claim that sequence was...
I bet you still can't the Chewbacca aspect of it.
No, I'm just saying Ted Nugent.
What?
Father. married, bow and arrow.
Oh, I see. So basically, all this time, we didn't realize that Hawkeye was an analog to Ted Nugent.
I think Stu's got you there.
I am dumbstruck.
I was like, where's Stu going with this?
The thing is that I just showed my complete and total lack of Ted Nugent knowledge there. Had I not been mired in ignorance when it comes to Ted Nugent, I would not have embarrassed myself by suggesting that Hawkeye is some kind of absentee father. Thanks for saving my bacon, Stu.
Actually, I don't know. That might prove Cole's point. But
oh, wow.
Stu's nodding.
But Cole, you are probably two of the biggest Ted Nugent fans on the planet. Yeah. Next to John as well.
Like, this is real. No, but I was like, where are you going with this?
So you were disappointed with it, Hannah, right?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't hate it.
Right.
I mean, there were parts of it I enjoyed, but I thought it was wildly inconsistent. Like, yes. I didn't walk out of it going, ugh, like Thor the Dark World or Iron Man 3. Yeah. But I didn't walk out like going, man, that was awesome, you know?
Well, I didn't walk out of it thinking, I'm looking forward to adding this to the collection.
I'm not, yeah, same here.
I'll get it when it's $5, but I said that about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and I have yet to even... I found it at $5 and refused.
Yeah.
I just don't see an enjoyment factor. I'm not... You know, I went and saw Avengers in the theater repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would... Catherine and I went and saw... Before we went to see Avengers Age of Ultron with you two, we went and saw Ex Machina.
The Alex Garland film.
And to see those two films back to back was rather a strange irony, because they're both about a effectively science fiction approach to tackling the weighty issue of artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And Ex Machina does brilliantly what Avengers flounders around trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Joss Whedon was still stuck in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where the potential stepdad turned out to be an android, or
didn't he do Dark Angel? Was that him as well?
No, that was James Cameron.
Oh, James Cameron. Okay.
Well, maybe borrowed a page from James Cameron's book, for all we know.
Yeah,
but it seemed like, you know, like you said, the Ultron not being fully realized, that he it seemed like there was so much of a story there that's never told, because we're too busy trying to create the situations that will allow for civil war. Not the least of which, I think the wanton destruction is meant to be a part of what builds towards civil war. What little I know about that miniseries.
Tearing through a bowl of Chinese soup. Wanton destruction.
Wanton destruction.
Yeah.
Oh, probably be like wontons.
I'm just hungry. I could destroy some wontons right now.
I've done that before in the past as well.
Yeah,
and we're also speeding towards Infinity Gauntlet, but
yeah,
this didn't make me go, man, I can't wait for Infinity Gauntlet. Like, when at the end you see Thanos go like, well, better do this myself, I wasn't like, yeah, you know?
I think one of the things, you know, there were at intervals, again, it was just like trying to change gears on an old worked farm truck with a bad clutch. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that's what that whole sequence with Tony Stark being sent to work on the old tractor at the Hawkeye farm at Rancho
Hawkins.
Yeah, Rancho de absentee father.
Rancho de Relaxo.
Rancho de Nugent. You know, that was almost like an analog of this film. It's like a tractor that doesn't work.
Yeah.
It has tremendous potential, but it's not delivering. And there are so many points where you just feel these little false starts, but like when Vision casually picks up Thor's hammer. Because he's not going to know any better. The same way when, like, Quicksilver tries to grab it and it nearly kills him.
That was funny, by the way.
Yeah, which was a wonderful use of the of both characters and situations there.
You know why they couldn't pick the hammer up?
Oh, I heard you say why, the by the way.
Oh, yeah, no, it wasn't because I yelled at because he's a strain. That's because Hemsworth had rubbed Vegemite in the handle.
Nobody wanted that salty ass shit.
When Hemsworth, when Thor's pouring that Asgard booze, and he's like, "Oh, only immortal men can enjoy this," and Stu hits me and goes, "Vegemite."
Yes, for those of you unfamiliar, we all had a Vegemite. We did it all wrong, apparently, but we all did taste Vegemite.
Yes, we did a taste test on Hey Kids Comics Live.
On video as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
See that at Daily Motion.
All the glorious Australian listening to the glorious reactions of the Yanks not being able to take that goodness.
Anyway, Cole was a champ, though. He took...
Yeah, well, I applaud the best Cole. Every joke that I... Yeah. Even if it kills me.
That's right. Maybe it's, you know, sodium puts you in a hospital, and damn it, it's all for the show, right?
That's right.
Anyway, I want to say what I thought about this film.
Absolutely.
Yes, talk.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
No, you didn't.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
What?
Oh, no,
I thoroughly enjoyed it. No, fuck this movie. I hate it. I fucking hated it.
Stuart loves fucking with us, JG. Yeah, I could tell.
It was hard. Not Iron Man 3 bad, that's probably the worst I've ever seen. Yeah. Not Thor: Dark World, that's probably equal to Iron Man 3, but it's just above that. It's bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get the whole fucking Scarlett Johansson, you know, Bruce Banner. It was like, you know, Scarlett Johansson lusting after Columbo, really.
Wow, that's really one of the best pictures of anything I've ever heard.
Yeah. It's like some sort of, you know, young lady's, you know, obsession with a private eye or, you know, a detective.
It's sort of a, like a March-December romance?
Yeah, pretty much.
I was disappointed with the Hulk in this movie, too, especially since he was such a standout in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And here I did love the Iron Man versus Hulk fight. I thought that was way fun. But... that whole plot arc with Black Widow and Hulk.
Well, it just seemed to come out of nowhere because it was nothing. Here you are with all this universe building, and we've not even suggested, much less built.
And the whole thing, hang on, and the whole thing as well, like her saying, "Oh, I can't have kids; they make me sterilize, so we'll be all right." Well, yeah, when he gets angry at you and puts his giant green dick up your arm.
Oh my god!
Wow,
he's got really dark.
Damn it, woman!
He's like, Hulk destroy.
He's like, "You can't bear my children." Hulk smash with dick.
Hulk teabag. there's something you don't want to be thinking about right
Hulk
now.
Hulk teabags.
Is this why feminists were mad at Joss Whedon?
Oh, that could be. That's why the feminazis flamed him off the
internet. Boy, I was reading some of those tweets and like, really? Calling him out for making her, what do they call her, a mattress back or something in the movie? In the tweets?
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't understand what they were mad about.
Calling him a sexist. And I was like...
Oh, they're mad because of taking the character of Hawkeye, who already had him all dropping eggs. And then that'll get me in good graces with feminists, won't it? But, you know, and then make him an absentee dad. So, you know, they're like, what is this, like somebody from like Friday or something? You know, I have no idea what appears in that movie. I just was casting about for this movie that might have absentee dads in it.
And so,
I just got myself in trouble with fans of Friday.
And so, Ultron, what do we think of...
I haven't got iPods, I can't listen to these questions.
What did you think of James Spader?
I like this character.
I had no idea it was him until the end credit. I had no idea. I thought it was some guy voicing it. That was all it was.
There was just something...
Well, that's because you're not a fanboy of this kind of crap.
Yeah.
all of us fanboys knew.
I knew just because John was bitching about it.
No, just about
he was like, I don't want to see James Brader acting like an idiot. He's a robot.
We just have to see him. Just to hear him.
Again for the 15 meme. If there's such a thing as that. The Iron Monkey with a golden fist. Or
there is a movie called Iron Monkey.
Oh, okay, yes. There is. Yeah.
Yes, there is.
There probably is one called Iron Monkey with the Golden Fist, too. But
I'm sure there is. It's a porno.
Sure
of
he's got it. It was a Tales of the Gold Monkey. I mean, it wasn't.
Journey to the West.
Yeah. The film was too long.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was
141.
Well, and
minutes.
Like, here's the thing.
Ridiculous.
I don't. Because the Avengers movies are supposed to be the big crescendos in this Marvel universe they've set up, where it sort of ebbs and flows. But the pacing felt right with the first stage, and it feels all wrong with the second stage. And
yeah, I think because, again, stage two just seems to be, you know, each movie's just building to the next one.
Yeah, it
and it just seems like all you're doing is putting links on a chain. You're not... Storytelling's out the window.
Yeah,
it's not working like a symphony where you build to a crescendo. You know, and Avengers should be that crescendo, but this felt like, I don't know, half a movement or something.
Well, it's almost more like, you know, Mozart in the first wave and Spike Jones in the second wave. It's like the opening of the Spike Jonze Show, where he's talking about how he set music back 100 million years.
Yeah, Marvel set movies back 100 million years.
Well, then I also love the fact that, and this may be, you know, part of the feminist discourse, wouldn't be surprising, but I kept seeing, like, the big Avengers thing I couldn't seem to avoid was in the last couple of days, everywhere on Facebook would be someone reposting something about people bitching about Marvel has excised Scarlet Witch from her own scene.
What?
And essentially,
I saw something like that, but
yeah.
I didn't look
and
at
what
it.
What it's getting down to is that apparently the Hasbro or whoever the hell has the Marvel license
has been
they basically are coming out with this toy that's a it's a Quinjet that vomits up a motorcycle. What? And it's Captain America on the motorcycle instead of Black Widow. And the problem that I had with that is not that, you know, misogyny is running rampant still in toy companies, but the fact that all of the headlines are blaming Marvel.
Oh, instead of...
It's like Marvel Comics, Marvel Studios, no one involved with this film is doing dick to put the toys out.
No, they contract that stuff out.
That is license holder choosing to... And you know, so ultimately... The blame then gets shifted to Hasbro, but it's even worse than that. Because from what I know about toy manufacturers, they're pretty much beholden to the retailers. Mm-hmm. And the traditional logic in retail toy sales is that boys' toy lines, female characters just don't sell.
Oh, and that's all.
So that's why you have 176 versions of Luke and Vader in the Star Wars line, and every once in a while you'll get a Princess Leia or somebody.
Yeah, that's what they need to sort of be more imaginative and make like a Black Widow fleshlight or a, or a Princess Leia.
That would actually be a good marketing thing when you go see Ex Machina. That would.
Yeah, yeah.
You could actually market a fleshlight for that.
Oh, spoilers. No, kidding.
Actually, that's completely non-spoiler. But
yeah,
on the MMC.
Just kidding.
It's only vaguely connected to the film, we'll put it that way.
We'll get like a Black Widow one, and like Scarlett, it's just Scarlett Johansson, right?
Yeah.
Every time you stick your dick in a fleshlight, your face grows longer.
Oh my god. This is the worst episode of the show.
She's got one long ass face, that girl.
Well, what do you think's going to happen when you have Stu on talking about a film he wouldn't have gone to see otherwise?
This happens when you drink Shiner Light Blonde.
We're not even drinking VB.
Oh, it was VB. It'd be like, oh, fucking everything would have gone to meltdown.
Oh, it would have. We would have been kicked off iTunes.
Yeah.
I don't give them any ideas.
Yeah.
They've had long enough.
But, you know, I think ultimately at the end of the day, what you're looking at is this sort of, this was very much, you know, the first Avengers was more a Joss Whedon film, mm-hmm. and this Avengers was more a Marvel Studios film.
Yeah, it felt like an episode of the Marvel TV show, you know?
Yeah, where it ponderously drags along and promises big and delivers small. Is that what?
Yeah.
Is that the sort of feeling you're getting?
Mm-hmm. But this one as well seemed to use more analogies. It felt like instead of a giant step forward in the Avengers arc, it felt just a baby step. Like there was a lot of explosions, a lot of noise,
but not much.
Yeah,
happened.
But not much happened exactly. You know,
yeah, it's almost it was almost Shakespearean in that it was, you know.
We got a love story, which really wasn't much of a love story. It was like
it was the biggest non-love story I've seen in a movie
like
in a while.
Infatuation. It was like Mark Ruffalo sitting there going.
Going, like you know, the, I can't really
sound
do this.
Thunder signifying nothing.
Yeah, totally. Yes. And we got, you know, a peek into, you know, Shay Nugent for a little bit. That was it. And there wasn't much else.
Shay Nugent. Yeah, in fact, that whole sequence, the whole safe house thing, was just almost a. We don't know what we're going to do, so we need
a farm where they can go regroup.
It was just like, let's have a palate cleanser between courses. So we've had, like, massive explosions, little palate cleanser, and then here's second course, more explosions.
You know what people do when they go to reflect on things? They go to a farm.
That's right, and
they work on tractors.
Yeah, you know what would have made that a lot better? They go in the door and Leatherface runs out.
Dude, that would have been a twist. If the Avengers get chased by a serial killer.
By Leatherface.
Hawkeye's like, meet my family. Burn! He gets like hit in the head with a meat hammer.
Yeah. but it's almost like that was the little, you know, I was getting this serious Born Identity vibe where you...
Oh, yeah.
Or worse yet, the Ma and Pa Kent from The Wolver or from Wolverine, the movie,
actually,
or whatever.
Got a Born Legacy vibe.
Ah.
Renner, yeah.
Imagine, like...
But, it's, you know, you go to the little placid place for a while. You have a little bit of a breather that, you know, should have ended in disaster.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, at the farmhouse. It would have been good if they had a cut to, like, Thor over with his head over a fucking, like, an ice bucket. And, like, here and here, Grandpa! Here and here, Grandpa!
This needs to happen.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much room for improvement. It's rather unfortunate because it did... There was so much potential there. That just got awesome.
I read an article while we were at dinner and said that this film had the second biggest second week drop of any film ever.
Really?
I buy it.
$100 million loss in the second week or something.
Well, it was
word
like
the mouth isn't good on it.
Yeah, yeah. It's not generating the kind of excitement that it ought to be generating.
No.
I mean, yeah, it's still bringing him in, you know, it's top box office again in its second
Winter
week.
Winter Soldier was the one that gained a lot of traction.
Yeah, it did, because everybody was saying how good it was. People kept going to see it.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that they're forgetting sometimes that Winter Soldier wasn't a success because it was a good Captain America movie or a good Marvel Studios movie. It was a success because it was a good movie. And that's the thing I've said, like, about back when Dark Knight came out, is that people are like, oh, it's amazing. It's the best Batman movie ever. So the thing about it is, it's not just that it's a great Batman movie. It's a great movie that just happens to be about Batman.
Yes.
And that's what sometimes is getting lost in the shuffle is you don't need to make good Marvel movies. You need to make good movies.
That reminds me of that old Hollis film with action. That wasn't just a good movie about sex. It was just a good movie.
Yeah. Just a good movie.
Just get old-fashioned.
Yeah, old-fashioned love story.
But, like, and even something like Guardians of the Galaxy managed to stand on its own quite well, you know.
Yes. Because, again, it was a good movie.
Yeah. And it had a good hook, too, with, like, the we're listening to cassette tapes in space and stuff.
Exactly.
A-tracks.
Delivered on certain.
Yeah. I mean, I really, for me, there wasn't much to say about this.
Yeah, Stu's been, yeah, Stu can't even get mad about it. He's just like,
man. I'm just like, I expected this, honestly.
Yeah.
This is what I expected, so I'm not mad. Like,
I really think you're getting indifference here.
Yeah.
Well, with the first one, I was mad because I really wanted to like it, and I was so let down. This one, I walked in, as you know, with no expectations, and yeah. I was like, I wasn't disappointed. You know, if I had really enjoyed it, I would have honestly said, yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I'm being proven wrong, but I wasn't proven wrong. It was just like...
No, absolutely, because it, like we were talking about Thor, you know, you went in with zero expectations, and... You were pleasantly surprised with this.
Yeah. And I watched that again at the start of the year, Thor. I still enjoyed it. You know, it's got some bits like, but you know, overall, it's still a good movie because I watched that and I watched God Awful The Dark World, which is just an abomination.
Thor The Dark World is so bad. I think it is worse than Iron Man 3, honestly.
Probably. Iron Man 3 was disappointing heavily because of the lack of Iron Man.
But at least it had our Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, it did. Know? It had also Dean Kingsley as well as...
Oh, the Mandarin.
And the Mandarin, that's it, yeah.
Fu Manchu.
I thought you said El Chupacabra.
No, it was the Mandarin, yeah. Which honestly, started out as a bloody good character and just like, oh no, I'm just this crazy old British man. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Oh, ole, ole.
Yeah,
he should have been like this crazy fucker. You know, as the Mandarin's like...
And then they tried to appease the fans with the Hail to the King short that they put out.
Too little too late at that point.
Yeah. Anyway, just kidding. There's a real Mandarin.
Overall, I would say for myself, I couldn't recommend you watch this.
Yeah,
it's a rental at best or a Netflix.
It really is. Best. It's a rental. It's not like...
Yeah. And I wouldn't even say go out and purchase it first day, and you know that way.
No.
I'd say seriously rent this because.
I mean, I can name one person who will be like going out and grabbing this the second it comes out.
Right. Yeah,
but
right.
That's to be expected.
And look, I have friends that are dyed in red Marvel fanboys that will forgive anything in these movies, and I had them texting me saying, "Saw Avengers."
Yeah.
You know, they were like, it was okay, but then they gave me this laundry list of things that they were unhappy with, and I was like, Didn't really set a great tone, but I went in, like, I was excited to go to the movies and see a movie with y'all, and I was like, and if I enjoy myself, great, with the movie, so...
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't unwatchable, and it wasn't...
No,
it was unenjoyable, but it should have been something far superior. We just, you know, it had, again, so much promise and did not deliver on that promise.
Remotely. Mr. Cole Houston, where can we find you and your mini projects?
Ah, yes, well.
How many podcasts you got, Mon?
I'm on. I got more podcasts than I know what to do with, Mon. But I will, in closing, say that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Catherine and I had gone to see Ex Machina and Avengers Age of Ultron almost back-to-back.
Yeah.
In two different theaters in two different cities. But they were 30 minutes apart.
Yeah.
That's for Stu. Everything was 30 minutes from wherever we were. But the thing about it was, I was walked out of the theater far more satisfied after Ex Machina.
Yeah.
That's one of the most satisfying films I've seen in a long while. And so, you know, if you were... wanting to find a film worth being recommended to you, that's the film you ought to go see.
Okay.
And in the meantime, in addition to finding my shameless self-promotion cards in bathrooms all over Dallas.
Oh, boy. Shameless
self-promotion. He drops those. Like.
I love the fact that at dinner, Hunter comes back from going to the restroom. Stu, you need to go check out the restroom. And I'm thinking because it at Oddfellows, the restroom was unique and that there was like this little metal table there with like 50 rolls of toilet paper, the pre-wrapped, individually wrapped kinds stacked up there. So, you know, God knows you were not going to run out. Mm-hmm. No matter how, you know, even if you had dysentery, you're going to have plenty of toilet paper. Mm. But no, it was because I'd forgotten about the fact that I'd left a shameless self-promotion for the Deep Ellum shows in there. And at the movie theater, Stu's like, oh, you didn't leave your calling card? Like, hey, right here, buddy. It's up here, and it's tucked into the sign on your way out.
Well, I want to say this. It's a very big pleasure to have Cole back on again.
Yes.
It's been too long. And I'm going to take... I take pleasure in doing this now because Andy B-Ball's here.
What are you doing there, Warriors?
Avengers, come out and play.
Nice.
Avengers.
Yeah. Fuck you, Avengers. Don't watch it.
All right. Well, as to where you can find me, I have my own website, the Jedi Cole Universe, at JediCole.com, as well as two of our shows that we do pre-recorded versions, either weekly or every other week, are also every other week or monthly, respectively, or something like that, at deepellumonair.com. You can find the Rancor Pit Live every other Sunday, and Hey Kids Comics Live the second Saturday of every month, generally, over at deepellumonair.com. And, of course, if you're keen on going to any kind of fan-type conventions in Texas, I also run Convention Awareness Project Texas, or...
Captain Texas.
There you go. At cap-tx.info, the new, much more abbreviated, easier-to-remember version. Thank you to Jeffrey Carlton for that one. And also... occasionally on the United States of Geekdom at unitedstatesofgeekdom.com.
Right on. Well, we'll have some more shows with Stu that we'll be recording in the same room. We've already got one in the can, but this one's going up first.
Yeah.
So.
And I also have to say that it's been an absolute pleasure to have Stu back in the States again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's been too much fun.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your hospitality, Cole, and yourself, and to Catherine as well. You both epitomize the term Southern hospitality. Can you?
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Well, thanks for helping me in my transition into actually owning a barbecue grill.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of, you got your cover as well.
Just in the nick of time.
For the deluge. Good man.
Yeah.
Yeah, see how handy those things are? But
absolutely.
Yeah. I've loved my stay in Texas, but now it's on to Boston.
Yeah, Stu's going to go to Boston in a couple days, and he's going to see another movie up there, one he swore he would never see, and I can't wait.
And it's going to be an MMC recording as
One
way or another.
We're
going to use fucking tin cans across the country.
It's getting done.
Yeah.
We'll communicate. We'll record this podcast via carrier pigeon if need be.
We'll do it one way or another. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the most epic MMC ever.
It's going to be one for the books.
I gotta remember just to take a few, Red Bulls or coffees at that, so I don't doze off.
Yeah, no, you need to.
I hear a particular voice going, "Get up! Wake up!
Stuart, does this remind you of home?"
Stuart, there's no apples in this movie. This movie's shit. Where's the apples? Oh, boy. It's gonna be fun.
Well, all right, everybody. I think that's about it. So until next time.
Cheers.
Adios.
Bye.
Ted Nugent.
you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast. To leave feedback and show suggestions, email us at midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like our Midnight Movie Cowboys show page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and feel free to leave us a review. Listen to us on Stitcher.com or the Stitcher Radio app. Want to help the show out? Visit MidnightMovieCowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate link. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Our personal links are on the right side of our homepage. See y'all next time. Thank you.